Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to the food scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.org, here with Michael Fusco today. And I only wish everyone was listening the last half hour before we were actually recording, because I think we went over everything.
Basically, yeah. I'm going to try to be as spontaneous as I was.
Excellent. I could do rapid fire questions that are such non sequiturs. So, but you're here because I think you are that great amalgam of what this show tries to be. The intersections of food and art, especially recently with all these wonderful design ventures you've been working on. But let's give a little background about who you are, what you do, where you came from, wonderful. Other than the womb. where were you born and raised?
I was born in White Plains, New York, and I was in Westchester County until I was about 12, and then I moved to Florida. And, like, basically, while I gained a lot of knowledge about humanity, it basically ruined my... No, it didn't ruin my life, but it's an awful place to grow up. But I learned a lot about people.
Yeah, and pizza.
and pizza. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. I worked... I went to high school in Florida, and then I went to college in Florida, and I actually... My first design job was in Florida, too. But yeah, you know, I basically spent the 12 years that I was there thinking about how to get to New York. And basically the answer to all of that was that I had broken up with a girlfriend and I took $500 that I have and I got in my car and I drove here and that was it. And like I just made that leap and that was all I did.
Yeah. Emma, your wife, is here. And
so yeah, yeah.
Seems like he does that kind of thing a lot. Just drives. Sucker somebody into some kind of trip and just goes.
And he swears he's a good driver.
I'm the best driver. Yeah. and you can ask anybody. I am the best driver. I mean.
Well, I'm glad you made this venture to New York, because here you found an amazing design career. And I was lucky enough to kind of find your work and be introduced to you through Michael Hirst, who's been on the show from the Recipe Project. And it opened up this amazing portfolio of things that you've done, from book covers to album covers. Now onto food.
Yeah.
But the original part of your career was because this wonderful cyclical thing that just recently happened at Artisan Books or Workman.
Yeah. I moved up to New York and I got a job at Workman because my cousin was an editor at Algonquin Books of Chapel Hill, which is a subsidiary of Workman, just like Artisan is. And so I got a job in the art department and I interviewed and the art director there like offered me $25 an hour and I thought I had won the lottery. I mean, I remember just being so thrilled, and I started working there, and I worked there for about 4 years, and I worked on a lot of cookbooks, and I met my wife, and she was a editorial assistant there for 9 months. And
6 months.
He's a great driver, but the facts are a little bit.
She like got me, and then she like got out of there, yeah. Basically. And it was a really great learning experience. Whenever I talk to people in publishing, specifically about working at Workman, they always are like, a lot of people in publishing think Workman is kind of crazy because their books are so designed and so filled with everything. And it takes a lot of effort to get one of those books to the printer. And so they always, whenever I would tell people I was working at Workman or that I'd worked at Workman, they'd be like, oh, wow, like you must really know what you're doing. And I'm like, I guess I do. I don't know. Like I kept up with it for the years that I was there. And basically the only reason I left was because I really wanted to start designing like more literary stuff, and at the time, and so I moved onto another publisher where they were basically only doing like, you know, mostly fiction and big nonfiction stuff that I could give more of like a literary book look to, I guess.
So, I mean, as a designer, I mean, talking about cross-curricular, are you choosing to be a literary designer in a sense, or are you looking to be a culinary designer? Well, what forms do you look towards?
Well, I definitely, like, at that time, like, I had it in, like, I would spend like hours and hours and hours just sitting in bookstores looking at book covers, and I knew what I loved. I had designers that I loved, and I knew that that's what I wanted to do. And, you know, that was probably like 8 years ago or something, and now that I've done that for a long time, now I the food stuff is something that is relatively new. Maybe like in the last 3 or 4 years I've really started doing the food stuff, and like I have so many ideas in me regarding to that, and I think I have maybe some little less ideas in terms of like the literary fiction, designing a literary fiction book, whereas I feel like I've done so many different books. I'm currently the art director at a publisher too, and so I design like 20 or 30 books a year or more than that, so it's a lot of work, and I feel like I sort of, I don't know, I've ran that course in some ways, and with the food stuff I find it so exciting, and I'm just so into it.
I mean, do you cook a lot? Do you go out to eat a lot? Is it, you're not impoverished and you know, frail? Yeah. I mean,
you're talking about, man?
I like how we have the little Foley sound too of the stomach. That was just us hitting a watermelon there. It's radio. Yeah, suspension of belief. No, I mean, you must enjoy food too, because talking before, you were seemingly so excited, unless you're a great actor, you were so enthralled about these new projects that you're doing and the people you're doing them with.
Yeah.
And aside from sharing similar values, you value that collaboration.
Absolutely. And I mean, obviously, I don't know, you know, it's rare that I meet somebody who tells me that they don't like food. And when I do meet that person, I try not to spend that much time with them. But like, obviously, I love food. Being in New York, we've eaten at so many amazing places. We try to go out to dinner a lot. We try
to cook at home.
To cook at home. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's we have a beautiful kitchen, and like that's really the goal at this point.
So you try to cook at home, but because of those, not failures, I'll say, you go out to dinner a lot.
Well, yeah.
No, exactly. And so like I love food. And so to me, it's such an honor to be able to conceptualize and collaborate with a chef or a butcher or a baker or whatever, of somebody whose work I like love and admire.
Yeah.
And it's just been, it's been so great on that level. And it's also been really nice to have it be like where I live and be able to like go to, you know, the Meat Hook and see like my logo in carved in wood behind the thing, and just like it's so cool to
it's
do that.
It's living, it's breathing.
Exactly.
You know, let's backtrack a little bit, because when you design a book cover, do you read the book first?
I try my best, and I do, especially if it's fiction. I will say that if it's fiction, I read it. I do.
Did you read Emma's books?
Oh man. I read like all of Emma's books, and I've read multiple stages of Emma's books. Yeah. You know,
because you designed the cover for Emma's last novel, Laura.
No, I didn't actually. I designed the cover for her story collection, Other People Be Married, which is like,
it's a better cover.
Yeah.
Whoa, jeez. Which is like for me, like that was a kind of turning point in some ways, where like I designed that, and I was like, I was so nervous about doing it. I remember having conversations with Emma being like, this needs to be like the best thing I've ever done, or else I'll never be happy with it. And like when I did it, I was like, this is like one of the best things. like I really felt that way, and like that, and I think actually designing that cover was sort of a turning point where I was like, okay, like I've done the book stuff and I'm really cool with the cover stuff, and now I want to kind of start focusing on something else. And I feel like that happened at the same time. And I love her. I love Other People We Married, and it's. I did the watercolor. Emma actually did all the typography on it. It was a real collaborative thing.
Yeah.
Like we sat down and we were like, "What do we want this to look like? Like, what do we want this to accomplish?" And it, like, I feel like it really accomplished it.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, I like hearing, aside from the collaboration, you know, how to amorphize, you know, something that isn't necessarily a living, breathing thing, and it be the symbol of that. Because I know you've done a lot of music as well. You know, Broken Social Scene, and people can interact at concerts and listen to their CDs. But to be that living icon, to be that representative thing, it is kind of fearful because you have to nail it, and because that is the lead to a lot of you know, visual references.
Well, yeah, I mean, and especially when you're like, when you look at it like that, where it's like, you know, even if I don't know the, even if I'm not married to the author, like this book, this person probably worked on for, you know, a big chunk of their lives. They are very, very attached to it emotionally, and I have to give it a visual representation. And like, there's a lot of pressure for that in general, I think. And you know, I think about that a lot. I also think about it a lot because Emma is an author and Emma's father is an author, and I understand what it's like to be an author and have your book be represented, maybe not the exact way that you want it to be, because the author in this process, and we're sort of getting away from the topic, but in the process of book design, the author, unless you're like a big, big, big famous author that has like super pull, the author is left out of a lot of it. And it's kind of a sad thing. It's weird, you know?
Well, let's talk about a big pickle maker.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
I don't mean like someone that makes large pickles, but Wheelhouse Pickles was one of your first forays into, you know, culinary logos. And he's actually a dear friend of mine too, John Oren.
I love
and
John.
I remember seeing, you know, the logo before the pickle, and that's what really drew me in. And and the Travis pickle.
Oh yeah, I know. I didn't. That was actually another friend of ours that we had illustrate all that stuff, which is so cool too.
But all those visual cues that just brought me in. I mean, it's a pickle.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great pickle, but it's a pickle.
Yeah.
So like, how do you make it a more attractive pickle? I mean, when you first met John, what was the discussion like? Did you say pickle as much as I just did?
Probably. Yeah. Well, I think when I met John, a lot of my clients, actually, John came to me from a friend, just like a referral, like word of mouth sort of deal. And he, you know, we sat down and we met, and I think he gave me a bunch of samples of his stuff. And we talked about like the kind of vibe that he was going for. You know, he wanted sort of like an old school vibe, and he wanted it to feel like something that had been there. Been around for a long time and was, you know, like a classic thing. He didn't want it to look like new and shiny. And that's sort of from what I remember, that was actually a while ago. From what I remember, those were the conversations that we had when we were designing the logo. And then once the logo was established, we got to do all the packaging and all the stickering of all the different jars and stuff. And that was so much fun because I got to pick a color palette, and then we got to do, like, I got to design all those labels, and it was so cool. And like, recently somebody on Facebook that is not even connected to Wheelhouse posted something about the Minor Threat sauce.
I love the Minor Threat sauce.
And I was like, I saw the jar, the photo of the jar, which is like the photo of the jar that I took in like my studio when he needed all the product shots. And I was like, holy shit. Like, I haven't seen that jar in so long. And it was like, it brought me right back. And I like love the way all of that stuff ended up looking. Like, it really is nice.
Well, I mean, let's jump ahead, because you're talking about making a single piece of collateral and that kind of snowballing into more. You recently, I'm going to say help open, because Nightingale 9 would not be open without that beautiful sign. But you helped, what is it, Rob Newton design the sign and signage for Nightingale 9, his new Vietnamese restaurant.
Yeah, Street. Opening on Thursday, opening, it'll be open when
on
you
a Thursday.
On a Thursday. I mean, we had worked together before, and then this one came about, you know, he just called me. The cool thing about Rob is that he never calls me on the phone and talks to me about these things. Like, he always wants to talk to me in person, which I think is like it's really nice, where it's like Emma's like, where are you going? I'm like, oh, I got to talk to Rob. And she's like, about what? And I'm like, I have no idea. Like, he just calls me, or he'll like text me and be like, I got to see you. You want to come over here tomorrow morning or something? And I'll be like, okay, cool. And so we talked about the logo for a long time. He showed me a lot of pictures. Well, he went to Vietnam and for like a month, and you know, studied with a lot of chefs out there and like really sampled the cuisine. He brought, when he came back, he brought me like all these pictures that he had taken of different like graphics and different colors and different sort of things, and like wall treatments and all kinds of things, and just being like, this is what I'm thinking. And so like out of those conversations came that logo. And with that logo, I must have done, I mean, I went through a lot of rounds with him on it, just because I remember giving him the first round and he was like, these are amazing, I love them. And then, but just for, because we were having so much fun, we like just kind of went down other avenues. And it ended up being, what the logo is now, ended up being sort of one of those avenues, which was really cool. Like, it wasn't, because I really love working with him, and we have a lot of fun when we work, it wasn't, like, annoying to be like, let's explore that. Like, let's just see, even though we got something really cool here, and we're all happy, let's just see what happens when I do this.
Well, do you live by that adage about making iterations, that you always do what your client wants first, and then you do something for yourself as well?
I try. I never want to ignore like initial conversations. And generally, I've been lucky enough that when it comes to this food stuff, like the people that I'm working with, like we come in with similar mindsets. Like, I just had a conversation the other day with somebody who's starting a sandwich company, and she sent me like a bunch of stuff that she really liked. We sat down and we had a talk about it, and I was like, this is exactly how I would envision your sandwich company to be. Like, this is great. We're all on the same page. Yeah. So, like, luckily, I haven't felt like I needed to go, like, do something that was, like, just for me and then do stuff that's just for them. Because, like, I really do feel like with the food stuff that I've been on the same page with all of these people. I've been lucky enough to be on the same page with all these people. That I feel like I'm just doing it for all of us.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick quick break and talk about the upcoming pages of the Meat Hook Cookbook.
Okay, cool.
Excellent. You've been listening to The Food Scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. We'll be right back.
Program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Seeing a need to help people sort through all the misinformation about healthy eating, Whole Foods Market added a seventh core value: to promote the health of our stakeholders through healthy eating education. In our stores, we give you the tools you need for choosing the most nutritious foods and healthy recipes, as well as offering classes with nutritionists and cooking coaches to help inspire good health and well-being. Stop by your local store today and learn more about our Health Starts Here program and wellness clubs, or online at wholefoodsmarket.com/healthstartshere.
Hey, and welcome back to The Food Scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I'm your host, Michael Harlan Turkel, here today with another Michael, Michael Fusco.
Hello.
And is it M and E or M plus E?
It's M plus E.
M plus E. Yeah, just I never know when you see a plus whether or not to say and or plus or...
Yeah.
It's a very personal thing.
Yeah, no, it's M plus E.
Excellent.
And general, I mean, the truth is that I basically... Like, Emma and I collaborate on certain things that we do, not everything. So the wedding invitations that we design are generally a collaboration, and all of the posters that we silk screen are a collaboration too, generally, right?
Yeah.
But some of the other stuff I kind of handle, and she's always just sort of, Like, she's basically my, like, office mate who I can say, hey, like, come and look at these logos and tell me what you like. If I design, like, 20 logos for a project and I have to kind of pare them down to five or something, you know, she'll help me sort of do that.
It's nice to have that. My fiance is an editor, so to have that in-house editor in a sense, because sometimes the mind wanders, drifts, and you do too much and you lose that focus.
Exactly. Or you like focus, or you like zero in on something that you think is so awesome, and then you need somebody there to be like, that sucks.
Yeah.
And that's what Emma
instead of a,
instead of a yes man, it's a that sucks woman. let's segue from that into the meat hook.
Yeah.
The meat hook is a wonderful, glorious place, as we all know.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you shop there and sample their wares. And
absolutely.
But how did it come to working with him on a cookbook?
Ben Turley, who's one of the three guys, is a really old friend of mine. And he got in touch with me when they were starting the business. And, you know, I designed the logo, and that was only the beginning. And like that, and the coolest thing about it is that, it really, they've become all three of them, Brent and Tom and Ben, have become like some of my favorite people. And I love working with them on all the different cool stuff I get to do, because they're not just like about just the logo. They want like cool summer shirts. So like every summer they're like, can you design like a surf vibe shirt for us? And I'm like, okay. Yeah. And I get to like do something that doesn't look anything like the logo, but it says the meat hook and it's awesome and it's really fun, you know? And so, so that has been really fun. And then they got this book deal, and I'm going to be designing the entire package with them. And it's really, really exciting to be able to sort of take the vibe that we've been doing in terms of like the visual graphic vibe and their vibe that they sort of put forth into like the world anyway. Yeah. and be able to put it into a book is going to be so much fun. And we're at the really early stages now. We've talked a couple of times and about like how, you know, we want it to look and whatever.
Yeah.
But like for the most part, we're just beginning, and I am so excited about doing it.
We are excited to see the outcome.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a massive task. And you talked about how Rob gave you kind of visual references of his trips to Vietnam.
Yeah.
What do you expect from a client? I mean, how do you start working on a project like that?
Well, I mean, I think what I always say is that I think when the meat hook guys came to me, they said, you know, we want this to look like a beer logo. Like that was where we started, actually.
Yeah.
Like,
what kind of beer? What are your favorite beer logos? I mean, what popped in your head when
they
said
that? They were talking like Miller Lite and like that sort of vibe. And
because they have the cozies. I think they had ends and they just needed
I think that the whole business began with them thinking like, we need a cozy that we could put something on.
Yeah.
We should start a butcher company and then get a logo to put on the cozy.
Yeah.
And then I think that's where it started. And so we talked a lot about that. And then the logo sort of developed out of that. I don't think it looks anything like a beer logo, but there were definitely rounds that I did that looked so much like a Schlitz type vibe thing, where it was just like a scripty font that was sort of skewed and in a circle, like in a weird shape and stuff. But usually when people come to me, I always ask for references. Like they have to have someone like who is a chef or who is a who's starting a business like in food. Like I'm sure they have like a vision of like what they want it to look like, of what they want to be presented, their visual sort of representation. And so like I always ask people like what they're seeing in terms of like what they like, you know, like everyone has opinions about that. If they don't, then it's scary.
Yeah.
You know, if they're like, oh yeah, you could just do whatever you want, I won't care. I'm like, that's weird. I mean, I never hear that.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you come to the table with? What are your favorite, you know, book covers, album covers? What are those meters for, you know, good work to you?
Well, I mean, I think, I mean, my sort of, my past, or like I kind of come from like sort of like a punk rock sort of thing. Like the first things I designed were like cut and paste flyers for like punk rock shows in like Jupiter, Florida.
Yeah.
And or like ska shows.
Yeah. I was about to say it's more a ska hub than a punk hub.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And don't worry, I grew up in Westchester and played in ska bands, and okay, it's all okay because I know guys in high places that were in those bands.
Oh,
now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. my best friend who went on the my first tour that I ever went on was with a ska band, and he is like, now he like is playing horns for David Byrne's band, you know.
Yeah.
So like, you know what, it's okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's sort of where I come from, and like I try to have sort of like I personally really love things that seem a little hand hewn, like that aren't as that don't look as computery, that seem a little bit more old fashioned. I don't like super clean, super like stark stuff as much. So that's sort of where I'm coming from when I like, I hope that when people hire me, they like look at my stuff and they like my stuff, and they don't want me to do something that's different.
Yeah.
Than what my stuff is.
Well, I think the inevitable goal is trying to be hired for your personal style.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than trying to be hired for your skill set.
Yeah. And I mean, and I feel like it's like with me particularly, like I know a lot of designers that have like a style, and it's so particular, and it's just like I can go into a bookstore and look at a book and be like, oh, that is Rodrigo Corral's design, and not even have to look at the flap because I know what his books look like. And I think that that's really cool, and I love that. But I personally don't know if I'm trying to achieve that on some level, but I don't think I have enough of like a specific style to do that. You know?
It innately comes. It's just, yeah, it's one of those matter of time things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have Nightingale 9.
Yeah.
The elements of that, from what Rob showed you, it's kind of like this wonderful glowing dark reddish, you know, what I picture of as Vietnam.
Yeah.
So obviously you did a good job there.
Thank you.
But who made that sign? I mean, you have to work with other people, yeah, to produce something like that.
Yeah.
Too.
Well, I had these two guys, Chan and Kai, have a like sort of, I don't really know what they call it, but I'll call it like an object fabrication like studio where they like make these really cool objects.
OFS.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't know the slang.
Yeah, yeah.
But they make like really cool stuff for really fancy people, I think, too. And like and like weird objects. Like they were telling me the other day, they were like, we have to build this ladder out of paper for like some museum or something. And I was like, how are you going to do that? And they were like, we don't know. That's our job to figure it out. And I was like, whoa. So they do all kinds of weird things. And they did this sign that's behind the counter at the Meat Hook that is gorgeous. And I got them to do the sign for Nightingale 9. And they made it out of brass. It's like a brass coated wood. And they painted it and they weathered it and kind of patinaed the brass. And it just looks perfect. And I mean, we were talking about this before, but like, you know, you have to put a certain amount of faith into people who are going to like do something like that for you, because they can't show you what it's going to look like before it's made, because it literally is something that's like a piece of art that they hand painted and hand weathered and texturized and stuff. And it's nothing is uniform about it. Like if you look at the sign, it's all, there are parts that are all dinged up where the paint is chipping off a little bit. And it really is something that they did because they're like really great artists.
Yeah.
And so like when Rob and I talked about making the sign, I mean, I think the idea came from Rob, who was like, man, it'd be really cool to have like a big metal sign in the window. And I was like, yeah, let me see if I can get these guys to do this. And they came out and we talked about like what we wanted. And I think one of them actually suggested using brass. So that was sort of like they brought the brass in. And then once we decided what we wanted, they gave us like a little piece of brass that had like the paint colors on it with different patinas, like different stages of like really crazy, like weathered and not so weathered. And we picked somewhere somewhere in the range, and then they did it. But we had no idea what it was gonna look like when we got it, until I like walked in there that day and the sign was sitting on the ground. I was like, holy shit, this is amazing.
See, I wish I could have been in those conversations, because I bet you Rob talks about food in a similar fashion that you just talked about that process.
Uh-huh.
You know, like constructing a recipe or a restaurant where you have all these outside influences, uh-huh, from, you know, the produce that you use, to the project manager, to the sous chefs,
yeah,
the execution of a dish. You know, you had that vision, and trying to foster someone along to get to there, it's extremely analogous. And I keep on finding that in creative people, you know, that when you break down that conversation, it's so, you know, in tune.
Yeah.
And it's kind of amazing,
yeah,
that you just change a couple. It's like Mad Libs. Uh-huh. I mean, like, it's kind of an amazing.
But that's like, it's like really, that is like my favorite part of my job. Like, you know, I love like going into my studio and like making a logo or whatever. But like, the coolest stuff is when I get to like collaborate with these guys and do this amazing sign, and like have Rob, you know, like kind of chiming in with ideas, and me offering some ideas, and these guys offering ideas, and then coming up with something and having it look amazing, and just being like kind of blown away by the whole thing. And it's so cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's really, that's just like my favorite part, you know. And I was telling you before this, like when the sign was up, like Rob and I like sat outside and looked at the sign. I was like, this is one of the best things I've ever worked on. And he was like so happy. Yeah. Like we were all just so happy, you know. It just, it's really cool. So and the food there is amazing too. I mean, the logo is cool, but the food is awesome.
Because we were also saying before that, like, damn you, Rob, for making a place that you can now go to every day.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Because, you know, there are special occasions, like you know, Seersucker.
Yeah,
even, you know, lunch, you can go there most days. But
yeah.
This may be an everyday place. And
oh yeah, like, I mean, I personally, the menu just is like exactly what I love to eat.
Yeah,
you know. So it's not the kind of stuff that it really does feel like everyday, sort of like there's like a, it's like an upgrade from like a street food vibe.
Yeah,
you know. So it's like everyday, but like a little, but still with his sort of like level of like, you know, local ingredients, local everything. You know, like, I mean, he has like local light fixtures on the, you know, I mean, like it's like, but it, you know, everything is really, really good. And you could taste like every ingredient. You know, we went to a preview dinner last week. Was that last week? And we just had a couple of dishes, and I could have eaten like five more.
Yeah. What did you have?
There was catfish with, vermicelli noodles. And then we had pork belly with vermicelli noodles. It was like, I think it was like a preview dinner where he was just like putting dishes out, and like people were just like, they were just handing us stuff. So I think we got there during the like vermicelli hour. But
there was also the condensed milk ice cream thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was this condensed milk ice cream that had like a peanut brittle type thing in it. It was amazing. I mean, and the great thing about it also is that, like, for instance, like that condensed milk thing was very small. And it was like a perfect portion. Like, it didn't like overwhelm anything I had eaten before. Like, it was really great. Like, this place, I think the neighborhood is going to freak, but I think that it's more than just the neighborhood. Like, I think people are going to go there from everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's such a great place.
Speaking about going someplace, let's talk about Spain, because I know you two just went, had a little vacation, and I've heard there's some good food there.
Yeah. You know, the food is really good. And so just for everybody, Emma, my wife, is a novelist. She's writing her second novel called The Good Face. It takes place in Mallorca, Spain. We went there for 2 weeks so she could do research and so we could actually have a vacation. The novel is about people who go on vacation. So we just went on vacation and she got to write down stuff all the time. It's kind of a great thing. The food there is awesome. Like, I feel like we had dinner at like a couple of really good tapas places, and they were great. And after that, I didn't feel like there wasn't a lot of variation. You know, like, it was like every tapas place sort of had the same thing, and once there were ones that were better than others. And I wasn't so, like, after 2 weeks of it, I was like, okay, I think we need to go to, like, the noodle place in Madrid.
Yeah.
We were in Madrid for a couple of days, and, like, I was like, I think it's time for some noodles. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think, like, the platas bravas were awesome.
Patatas.
Patatas bravas. Yeah.
You also have a spell checker, which I like.
Yeah. I know. She's really good at that. Those were awesome, and the first, like, four times. And then after that, I was like, I don't need any more creamy potatoes. You know, it's like, okay. But, yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't know if it's, like, my favorite.
Yeah.
You know.
It's nice to be back in Brooklyn.
It is nice to be back in Brooklyn.
You told me some of your favorite places, like Five Leaves you love for breakfast, Salty for lunch, Mary's Fish Camp for dinner. And I love the fact that you loved it so much that you just rented it out for your wedding.
Yeah. When we got married, we rented out the one in the West Village for our wedding. And it was so wonderful. I mean, like when we first got together, Emma lived on Perry Street, like around the corner. And so we used to go there all the time. So it was really nice to go back and rent it.
Yeah.
And I love that place.
It also made, you know, it ensured that our wedding was very, very small because you can only fit about 30 people at Mary's Fish Camp. So that was it for us.
Yeah. It was like we got married in her parents' living room, and then we all went down to Mary's Fish Camp. I love Mary. It's like I heard something about how – I just read this, and I haven't told you this. Like the one in Brooklyn is for sale.
Let's buy it.
But yeah,
see what you just got yourself into.
I know.
Now you own a restaurant.
But yeah, like those are my favorite places. Yeah. I Five Leaves for breakfast. Like I love those damn pancakes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like they like ruin my day in terms of eating anything else. But shit.
Yeah. I like how we're condemning food that we love. Like screw you, Rob, for having an everyday rest. Screw you, pancakes, for filling me up and being delicious.
Oh man, those pancakes are damn good.
Yeah.
And Salty is such a great sandwich place. And I love that. We love their book. We just got their book.
Yeah, that book's lovely.
It's really, really beautiful. What else did I say? Oh, and Mary's. Those are like my three places.
So Salty Cookbook. Let's talk about a couple others before we kind of wrap up.
Okay.
You cook a little bit, and you guys had mentioned that one of your favorite is Staff Meals by the Waltucks.
Yeah.
David and Karen of Chanterelle, who dear to me, you know, kind of also helped me amalgamate the idea of food and art because they were such collectors and so vibrant in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
What do you cook out of there? And you know, what do you cook for friends, for family, for events?
Well, out of the Staff Meals cookbook, one of Emma's things is whenever she has a an event, like reading event, she likes to bake cookies for like the people who come to see her read. And those cookies are out of the Chanterelle Staff Meals cookbook.
Odie chocolate chip.
And what else do we make? The pancakes out of there are really good.
But we've made their fried chicken.
And their macaroni and cheese is really great. Good. Yeah. Out of that book. And the other thing I could think of us like always making for people, and it's not out of that cookbook. I don't know where it's from, but whenever we have a party, we always make beef bourguignon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what cookbook
that's just Martha.
That's just Martha.
Oh, just Martha.
Yeah.
This woman on the street named Martha.
Aunt Martha.
No one knows who she is.
We've been cooking recently. We've been cooking out of Plenty.
Oh, yeah.
Constantly.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a wonderful book.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. When we were in in London, on our way to Spain, we had a couple of days in London. And I looked into going to one of his restaurants, and we couldn't get in. And we should have planned accordingly. Yeah.
But I mean, that shows that's not only a great cookbook to cook from, but it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's stunning. And sometimes you get cookbooks that aren't beautiful, but have great recipes, or ones that are and don't have.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's that weight on your shoulder, I guess, to produce a cookbook for the Meat Hook that not only looks beautiful, but tastes great too.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the goal for the Meat Hook book is to make it beautiful, but also really inviting. I want it to be something that people really use. Like, I want to see it in somebody's kitchen and have it be all messed up and have, like, you know, like Post-its coming out of it and, like, have it be all dirty and whatever. Like, that's what I want.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that would be the goal with any cookbook. But sometimes you get these beautiful, like, the Bouchon cookbook is gorgeous. And, I love it. But it's like a, it really is like a coffee table book. Yeah. Like reading, like cooking out of that book is really difficult, probably. I've never tried. But it's also like, I think, difficult physically because that book weighs like 400 pounds and it's like, you know, so wide
yeah.
and big. It's really a coffee table.
That's why I tell people I don't belong to a gym because I carry cookbooks around so often. It's a good weight system.
Yeah.
Lastly, well, I'm starting this new idea of asking people their favorite food words at the end of each show.
Oh.
It could be like James Lipton does in Actor's Studio. Any word. What is your favorite food word at the moment? And if you need me to start, I can go.
Oh, boy. Okay, you can start. Yeah. Hold on.
So lately, I've loved rondeau. Just a large, you know, saucepan cooking vessel that, you know, sometimes you start arborio rice for risottos. But I also kind of like the Celtic, so I like that as rondeau and rondeau.
Oh, okay. And, I get yeah, that's just... Come on, Emma. You're the wordsmith in the family.
No, it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
When we were in Italy, this was many years ago, but like the smartest thing we ever did was there was a little cat that lived like on the vineyard where we were staying, and we were like, what should we name this cat? And we named it Affogato. Oh. Which was like really the smartest we've ever been.
Yeah.
I got a good one. One of the things I really enjoyed in Spain was pulpo.
Oh yeah, I love pulpo.
I loved it. It was so good and so fresh and wonderful.
My favorite sign, it's not signage, but it's a sign outside of like a little deli near me when they have octopus. There's a little sign that says "I pulpo." I stop in and I go "I pulpo." I pulpo. Yeah. That's all I needed. I don't need the pulpo. Yeah. I just need to know that it was there.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Completely spelled out: M+E Design.
.com. Yeah, mplusedesign.com. It's long and hard to tell people, but it exists.
It's worth typing it out.
Yeah.
Michael,
you.
Emma, thank you so much for being on. Looking forward to, you know, checking out the cookbook, the restaurants, everything, and maybe collaborating someday.
Absolutely. Yeah. Love that.
Wonderful. You've been listening to The Food Scene on heritageradionetwork.org. Hope to have you back here next Tuesday at 3. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today.
Thanks for listening.